Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about concerns surrounding Governor Steve Bullock's climate council, selenium contamination in the Kootenai River, and teen suicide prevention. It's Tuesday, September 24th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. State game managers say another white-tailed deer is likely positive for chronic wasting disease in Libby. If confirmed, this would be the 10th deer to test positive since the spring. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports.
Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks announced Monday that a doe found dead on a residential property on the west side of town tested positive for the fatal disease. A second test will be run to confirm the finding. This would be the 10th deer to test positive out of 140 samples collected in and around Libby. FWP spokesperson Dylan Tabish says the agency will use hunters this fall to collect samples outside of the urban area.
Now that hunting season is underway and we're establishing the Libby CWD management zone, we'll be collecting samples from hunters in a bigger 10-mile radius, and that's where we'll really get a clear idea if this CWD has spread outside of that urban area.
FWP has already begun trapping deer in town and issued hundreds of additional tags this season in an effort to collect 400 samples. That will help managers determine whether prevalence is above 5% of the population. The agency's CWD management plan aims at reducing deer densities to keep the disease below that threshold. FWP is also asking hunters in the Libby CWD management zone to review new hunting requirements in the area. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
As world leaders discuss how to slow the effects of climate change, Republican lawmakers in Montana are questioning Governor Steve Bullock's creation of a climate council. His administration faced concerns yesterday surrounding his July executive order calling to make the state's electric grid greenhouse neutral by 2035. Montana Public Radio's Corin Cates-Carney reports.
When Bullock, who is running for president, signed the order this summer creating the Montana Climate Solutions Council, it was seen as a positive but late step by advocates warning of the threat of climate change. On Monday, some Republicans on the Energy and Telecommunications Interim Committee raised questions over the need for the council. Tom Richmond is a Republican state senator from Billings.
This has already been done once, and it came up with 54 recommendations.
He's referring to a similar committee under then-Governor Brian Schweitzer in 2007. It was also tasked with designing a plan to reduce Montana's emissions and created 54 policy recommendations to do so. However, the state hasn't tracked the outcome of those recommendations. Bullock's staff says the new council will review and catalog that past work. The governor's Climate Solutions Council is made up of 29 people, including representatives from businesses, universities, labor unions, tribal nations, and environmental groups. The governor's office plans to host what it calls a Montana Climate Solutions Summit this fall, but a date has not yet been set. The council is ordered to deliver a draft Montana Climate Solutions plan in January. I'm Corin Cates-Carney, Montana Public Radio News.
Montana Attorney General Tim Fox announced his agency will host a second missing persons training, this time for people living and working in eastern Montana. Olivia Reingold reports.
Law enforcement and community members will have a chance to learn about how to help find missing people on October 16th in Billings. It'll be the second time Montana's Department of Justice has hosted a public training session on things like how to file a missing persons report and the role of different databases. Like the last session held in Helena this June, the upcoming training will focus on cases of missing Indigenous people. Native people in Montana tend to go missing at rates that outpace their share of the state population. Holly Mackey, a Northern Cheyenne education professor at North Dakota State University, was the keynote speaker at the Helena training. She says an even split of about 120 law enforcement agents and community members attended.
When we have these two groups, these two sides coming together to learn from one another, you know, we're hoping to develop a better understanding of one another, but then really heal a lot of wounds.
She says the parties hardly mingled, not even on breaks, and hopes that there's more crossover this time. A spokesperson from the Montana Department of Justice says that law enforcement and the public will attend separate events but get to share meals and breaks. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Olivia Reingold.
A mineral byproduct from British Columbia coal mining operations is making its way into Montana and Idaho's Kootenai River. As Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports, a U.S. Environmental Protection Agency study found high levels of selenium in mountain whitefish eggs that could be impacting reproduction.
EPA hydrologist Jason Gilvey worked on the study examining mining's downstream impact on the Kootenai River. The results were released Monday.
The selenium was mostly rather low in a variety of fish, but in a few fish, and mostly in mountain whitefish, there were high selenium levels found in the eggs we collected.
It's been known for some time that British Columbia coal operations along the Elk River are elevating selenium concentrations in the transboundary Lake Coconusa. But little study has been done downstream in the Kootenai River. EPA's study collected over 140 fish samples and sampled water levels 4 times since the fall of 2018. Concentrations of selenium in the river never exceeded EPA recommendations for fish health during that time, and the levels found in whitefish eggs don't pose a risk to human health. However, Gilvey says the concentrations could impact the species' reproduction.
It's really impacting the fish at the kind of the egg and fry stage rather than fish at kind of the adult stage.
Contaminated fish eggs sometimes fail to hatch, and selenium has been known to cause deformities in fry after they feed on their yolk sac. Unrelated to mining activity, mercury levels in a number of fish sampled in the study were found to exceed EPA's recommendation for human consumption. And Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks will issue a consumption advisory for the area. FWP says levels are relatively low and are common statewide. The agency says it will continue to work with state, tribal, and Canadian partners to address selenium levels in Lake Coconusa. Both FWP and EPA hope to fund more selenium research on the Kootenai River. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
Percent of Montana high school students say they've attempted suicide in the past year, according to a statewide survey released last month. Kay Erickson and Montana Public Radio's Corin Cates Carney have this joint report about students vulnerable to depression and a game that school officials say may help.
The percentage of Montana high schoolers who report being depressed is at a 20-year high. That's according to the 2019 Youth Risk Behavior Survey of state high school students. The survey of students is done across the country and was first used in Montana to track student health and behavior in the early 1990s. It's given every other year to high school students and asks questions about their physical activity, how safe they feel in school, if they use drugs, have sex, eat vegetables, and other topics. For decades, Montana officials have collected data showing suicide rates here are higher than the national average. But only recently did the survey start showing how suicide is impacting homeless students.
The risks for homeless students compared to other students are significantly higher.
Heather Denny is the Montana State Coordinator for Homeless Education. In 2017, Denny says Montana started asking more specific questions about homelessness. And the results were discouraging.
So in the 2017 survey, it's about 25% of homeless students attempted suicide. And in the 2019 survey, 35% of homeless students are saying that they have attempted suicide.
Denny says she doesn't know why there was growth in reported homeless student suicide over the last 2 years, if it was a temporary spike or a trend.
I couldn't tell you that. I mean, I wish I could, because then I could figure out how to address it.
The number of reported homeless students in all Montana public schools has increased each of the last 3 years. There are more than 4,000 reported homeless students across the state. More than 500 of those students are in the Missoula County School District. Colin McGuire works with homeless students and families in the district. She says there's a game that more teachers are starting to use in classrooms that tries to improve student mental health. While it's designed for all students, she says the PAC's good behavior game could also provide an important, predictable rhythm for homeless students in the classroom.
And that's one of the things that happens when children go homeless, is that their predictable lifestyle has changed. You know, they've gotten used to being able to go home to a parent or a significant other, a caregiver, and when they go homeless, that is lost. So the predictability of their lives kind of gets shattered. It's pretty terrifying in not knowing, particularly for a younger child, not knowing where they're going and where, what home is going to be like when they get there.
YPR News' Kate Erickson recently saw PACs in action in Billings.
The developers of the PAC's Good Behavior Game say it's designed to help teachers make the classroom a place that can encourage good mental health. The state announced earlier this month funding to expand the PAC's game to more schools across the state. One school district seeing positive results is Billings.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to give you 10 seconds.
I got it.
Find that page, please, and then I'm going to ask for PACs.
I did it.
10.
I did it.
Nine.
And I very last page.
Eight.
That's Carissa Gordon, leading her second graders at Billings Ponderosa School in a reading lesson utilizing the PAC's Good Behavior Game. It's not a subject, but a program that uses research-based strategies focused on creating a classroom climate that facilitates peacefulness, productivity, teamwork, and encourages resiliency that will continue over a lifetime. The task is to reduce mental illness, substance abuse, and suicide in Montana's youth. Gordon and her second grade students hashed out the specifics of the PAC's learning environment at the beginning of the year. Together, they decided the rules for a peaceful, productive classroom, looking at what is good behavior and bad.
And from there, it empowered them to be accountable for their own actions. It's not me putting something on them, it's us working collaboratively as a team to achieve this peaceful, productive, positive, healthy environment so that they can truly thrive.
Two of her students, Felicia and Elijah, give examples of disruptive or bad behavior.
When you get a paper from a teacher and then you just grab it out of their hands and then you just started ripping it from her hands.
If you walk up to a friend and you just punch them in the face or something.
In PAC's vernacular, those are called spleems. It's a made-up word, but it draws a kid's attention in a non-disruptive way. And Gordon challenges anyone to say spleem and not smile. That's important since kids take cues visually.
When I am trying to redirect a child, to have a smile on my face goes a long ways in actually keeping that relationship intact, but still addressing the behavior at hand as, hey, we need to try this again because this is not keeping PACs in our classroom.
When the students keep the spleems to a minimum during a lesson, there are rewards, like having the opportunity to giggle or laugh out loud for 10 seconds.
Ladies and gentlemen, oh, those were good voice clears. As much as you can. Giggle, laugh, snort, here we go. Ready, go.
There are other rewards that are favorites with Elijah and Felicia.
The prize will be get take turns dancing if someone chooses you.
Walking backwards in the hallway.
This is Gordon's second year using PAC's Good Behavior Game in her classroom, and she's a strong advocate. She says she's installing those values in herself, as she does in her students.
This is something that personally I've seen have great results in my classroom for very limited extra time and effort. It's really just that authentic desire to show kids that they are worthy of time, they are worthy of people giving them respect, which can only translate into a better future and a ripple effect in our communities.
All 22 elementary schools in Billings have PAC-trained teachers. 85% of Carissa Gordon's fellow teachers at Ponderosa School have been trained in PACs.
The PAC's Good Behavior Game started last school year as a pilot project in about 20 schools in Montana. It was funded through state legislation calling on Montana health officials to create a program addressing the high rate of suicide among kids in the state. Earlier this month, after reviewing the outcomes of the pilot, the University of Montana Center for Children, Families, and Workforce Development called PAC's Good Behavior Game a success. Citing the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the UM report said, quote, PACS is one of the few universal prevention programs to have proven positive impact on children's mental health, unquote. In the study of Montana classrooms using the game, one of the largest changes seen was the number of students who teased their classmates. The UM report says through the pilot program, that number decreased by 8%. The governor's office says the federal grant received by the state will allow 1,000 teachers in around 30 towns to receive training in PACS Good Behavior Game this fall. Carl Rosten, Montana Suicide Prevention Coordinator, says the PACS game can help all students in Montana with behavioral health issues. He also says the higher suicide rate among homeless students compared to non-homeless students mentioned earlier is expected, given those kids often lack access to family support and health care. While new data show just how much homeless students are at risk for depression and suicide, Rosten says the problem is growing among kids statewide.
We are seeing a trend up.
Rosten says he'd like to see depression assessments in schools across Montana.
You know, the average age of onset for depression is around 15. For anxiety, it's age 11. Yet, only about 10% of the population nationally who meet the criteria for clinical depression ever get treatment. And if they do get treatment, it's usually not till their early 30s.
School districts are independent, and even if the state develops tools targeting suicide prevention, Rosten says it's up to individual districts whether to use them. A bill in the 2019 legislative session creating a pilot program for an optional screening in public schools failed to pass. Some argued it was government overreach, and the policy was not detailed enough. If you or someone you know is in crisis, the Montana Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255, or can be reached by texting MT to 741-741. I'm Corin Cates Carney with Montana Public Radio.
And for Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Kay Erickson.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.